Washington, D.C. This is Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
This is Don Kennedy, host of Big Band Jump, a part of Warbird Radio. Tune in, take off with the excitement of Warbird Radio.
Now showing on AeroCinema.com.
Deep in the mountainous regions of southern Germany, there lies a secret. Behind armed guards and solid walls, aviation genius Willy Messerschmitt has a team toiling away at something deadly, something the world has never seen before. The Messerschmitt name is already synonymous with the most feared aircraft of the war. Whether propeller or jet-powered, they are a driving force for the Luftwaffe. Now, with enemy forces closing in, the mystery must be hidden before it is too late. Plans divvied up, designs buried deep. No one can know what is behind the doors of the secret factory. Part 1.
Hey folks, it's Ryan Keough from Warbird Information Exchange. Join us every Wednesday evening here on Warbird Radio for Wix Warbird Weekly Live, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, with rebroadcasts throughout the week. You've been on the Wix Internet Forum, one of the world's best for Internet Warbird discussion. Now we're coming to you live and on the air. Tune in, take off to discuss the hot topics in Warbirds around the world this week, along with our guests who are working hard to keep them flying well into the future. Call in, write in, or even Skype in to add your voice to the conversation. Wix wants to hear from you. Again, that's Wix Warbird Weekly Live, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, only here on Warbird Radio.
Broadcasting loud and proud from the heart of the nation's capital, this is Warbird Radio.
Hi, and welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show. I'm your host, Mike Chilson, and today is November 9th, 2010. We're glad you could join us tonight. Hope you're able to listen live. If you're listening to the podcast, we appreciate that, and glad you're able to join us. I want to welcome our host, David Heil, tonight. David's one of the builders here on RC Scale Builder, and we try and bring the builders on, and I'm sorry. We try and bring the builders on and let introduce them to you. And
Did you hide him in a box, Mike? Where is David?
What are you doing, David? You sound like you're...
Was that the toilet I heard flush? I'm sorry.
I'm just sitting here. I'm not doing anything.
Dude, really. There are all kinds of background sounds there. I can't even do my intro because you're making so much noise.
I'm going to shut up again. I'm sorry.
Anyway, the show's blown to hell. Oh, anyway,
it's already started.
We're glad you're able to join us tonight, and we're going to get right into it with our guest, David Heil. David, welcome to the RC Scale Builder Show.
Thanks, Mike.
And I wanted to bring you on the show because the idea here is we're trying to introduce a lot of the builders on the site, and so everybody kind of gets a feel for, you know, who they're talking to and the kind of person they are and everything. And obviously, we've decided that David is a noisy person.
Apparently so.
No big deal, bud. Anyway, let's get right into it. Why don't you tell a little bit about how you got started in modeling and, you know, maybe how you got into the scale part of RC.
Sure. Yeah, I started flying RC in 1979. Prior to that, I was never a plastic model builder, or I didn't do any control line or anything that a lot of people did as kids. But I was in the Air Force, and I was stationed at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base in Tucson. And at that time, they let the RC guys fly on the ramp right in front of the main gate. And I was driving to the base one morning, and I saw the guys flying, and I just stopped and started chatting with them. And one of the guys said, "Here, you want to try it?" And handed me his transmitter. And this is back before the days of the buddy box, where you had the guy standing behind you rather closely with his hands on the stick over yours. And I flew it for a while and been doing it ever since.
Cool.
I always liked looking at the scale planes, but never thought I could do anything like that. And then in 2003, I went down to Top Gun. The wife and I did, to be a spectator. She was bored to tears, and I looked around and said, "There's no reason I can't do this." So I started building scale planes after having flown just regular sport planes for 20 plus years.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. You know, it's interesting to hear how different people get into this hobby and how they're introduced. And, you know, I would guess there are a lot of people who have seen other people flying the models, and it's just like a magnet, you know. You're attracted to it almost instantly. But well, that's very cool. That's very cool. What is.
You know, in the summertime in Davis Monthan in Tucson, it was so hot that we actually went out to fly at 6 o'clock in the morning, because by 10 in the morning, you couldn't stand to be outside, so everybody went home by then.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah, that's a tough part of the country to fly in, I'm sure. Well, let me ask you this. I know you've got a couple of projects. You've completed a P-47, a yellow P-47, and you're currently working on a Arado 96. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the Arado and a little bit about it and where you're at with it, and fill us in on it.
Certainly. A while back, Dave Anderson gave everybody a copy of his plans for the Arado 96. It's about an 88-inch span plane. It was a German low-wing two-place trainer, much the same as RPT-19, but with an enclosed cockpit. It's all built up, and I got the wood. I ordered a complete kit, and I got it from Larry at Precision Cut Kits and started putting it together. And I learned a very valuable lesson early on this. When Dave gave us the plans, I downloaded them as PDFs, and I took them to my local Kinko's and had them printed out. Well, Kinko's didn't check the sizing on the scale, and silly me, neither did I, until after I had built the silly thing and discovered that one side of the wing was about an inch and a half different size than the other side of the wing, because the plans didn't match. So I had to play a little bit of catch up to make the two wings approximately the same size. I think I got them to within an eighth of an inch. Yeah. But important safety tip: if you have someone print your plans, make sure you use that scale that's on them to check and make sure they're right before you take them home.
Good advice.
You don't want to find that when your wing is done and it just doesn't look right and you can't figure out why.
Yeah, I remember when that happened. It took you a little while to figure out what was going on, but you pushed past it. And, you know,
I pushed past it, yeah. I ended up putting an extra rib in there and just sanding it out. Interestingly enough, Dave Anderson is such a gentleman. I sent him a note and explained what I was doing. He goes, just fly it that way. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a little too tightly wound to have one side of my wing be an inch and a half shorter than the other, so I had to fix it.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the great part about this hobby is there isn't really anything that you can't redo, you know.
That's the nice thing about wood. Even if you screw it up, hey, sand it off and do it over.
That's right. Absolutely.
I've learned that lesson valuable times with paint. You know, hey, it doesn't look right. Break out the sandpaper. Time to start over.
Yep. Yeah. And I think a lot of people followed your yellow aircraft P-47 thread on the site. And, you know, that was a great thread. I think, was that your first scale model or was the PT-19?
The PT-19 was. Now, the P-47 was the first one that I detailed on the site. And I think the only reason people followed it was to see if I was going to smack the wing on the ceiling and break off the wingtips yet again. I think at last count I had done that four times,
yeah.
And each time I would say, "Well, here it is again." But the thing I have learned from reading other people's threads is from the mistakes. And so I try and post the good with the bad and make fun of myself while I'm doing it, because if someone else can learn something from that, well, then everybody's a winner.
Well, there you go. There you go. That's what it's all about, is learning from each other, right?
Exactly.
Well, that's neat. I think you also built a Skyshark Hellcat, didn't you?
I did. I built the Skyshark Hellcat. I had a YS-63 Glow engine in it, and it was not my first attempt, but I think the second attempt at a scale model. And I sold it before even flying it. As a matter of fact, Mitch Baker is flying that plane these days.
Yep, there you go. There you go. That's a nice looking airplane. It's actually the one in the picture for this episode. So
yeah, that's actually painted. I glassed it and painted it with Nelson's paint. It's the first time I used Nelson's paint.
Gotcha.
And since then, I've switched over to Warbird colors. And I'll tell you, Chuck just makes a fantastic product that I am just absolutely sold on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, folks, if you'd like to join in the conversation, you can give us a call at 478-787-4768. Or you can Skype us at Warbird Radio, or shoot us an email at live, L-I-V-E, at rcskillbuilder.com. I know on the Arado, it's you've had a few interesting challenges, like the wing that you had to correct. But, you know, I was really impressed with some of your solutions to things like the air bottle and those type of things in the project. But isn't it amazing how each one of these that you build, you learn so much more every time?
You know, I started out about 6 years ago with a Jerry Bates Hellcat, and I realized I just didn't have enough experience under my belt to do that project, so I set it aside. And then I built the PT-19, and I built the P-47, and got a little bit more experience. And you're right, as you do it, you can tackle the more difficult things without a big problem. The air bottle, the only reason I put it behind the cockpit, because I just didn't like the idea of rubber banding it to my wing, right, which is how the plans for the Arado actually have you putting the air bottle on the plane. And I wanted something just a little bit more subtle than that.
Yeah, yeah. I hear you. I hear you. Well, I know you've made a lot of friends on the site, and you and I are really good buddies. And, you know, it's been great having you following your builds on the site, because it's educational for everyone. You know, I think especially the new guys who are starting at this, it's really good for them to see that it's okay to, you know, you're going to run into challenges, and that, you know, the thing is to work them out and get past them and not sit there and, you know, wring your hands on them for a month before you do anything.
Well, I've had some of that too. When I was trying to figure out the canopy, I spent about 2 weeks just staring at it to see how I was going to put the canopy on. I was making the choice if I was going to make it a sliding canopy or a fixed canopy. And the canopy on the Arado is actually in three pieces. And the mechanics and the situation of getting that canopy all to slide the way it was supposed to, after 2 weeks of staring at it, I decided, you know, it's just going to be a fixed canopy, and so be it. So
yeah,
that's why it is the way it is today.
I hear you. I hear you. And by the way, folks, if you want to check out any of David's threads on the site, just search for DM Heil, D-M-H-E-I-L. That's his username. And you'll see the threads that he started. Let's talk about some upcoming projects. I know you and I have discussed this a little bit. What do you got on your plate after the Arado?
Well, as soon as the Arado clears the bench, I'm going to go back to the Bates Hellcat. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, some knucklehead built the wing and only sheeted one side and then put it up for a couple of years. And between the heat and humidity and the heat and humidity over the years, I learned that when you do that, your wing will warp. And I think when I measured it, about 6 inches, rather than try and straighten that out, I got a hold of Pat Folacaro and had a new set of ribs cut for it, and I'm just going to rebuild the wing and start fresh. But once again, with the experience I've gained of the other couple builds between then and now, I'm much better able to tackle that project. So that's going to be the next one on the bench.
Gotcha.
And then I'm tossing a coin up in the air. What's going to be after that? I've been following Matt Dupuis' build on that Valancourt 190, and what a wonderful job he has done on that. And it just makes me want one real kind of bad.
Oh yeah.
So right. It's on the build list too.
Well, that's great. Well, that's neat to know. And you know, you attend a lot of events. What events do you normally attend through the flying season?
Well, for the last couple of years, I've gone down to Georgia in June. I've been to Warbirds over Delaware every year for the last 9 years. I missed 1 year because I was out of the country, but I've been down to Top Gun a couple times only as a spectator. And interestingly enough, the last time we were down there, Debbie, my wife, comes out with me on the first day, and she'll sit there and be bored. And the second day, she drove up and dropped me off and came back and picked me up. The third day, she drove up and dropped me off, and they stopped us at the gate going in, and the young lady came over to the car, and you know, instead of paying to park, Debbie looked at her. She goes, "Well, look, I'm not staying. I'm just dropping him off at daycare." And of course, you know, the two of them chuckled, and I'm like, "Yeah, right." So, but that's her idea of daycare. So she dropped me off at daycare for the day. But that's a fun time. If you've never been down to Top Gun, just to watch and see some of the skill and some of the outstanding ability of some of these people to build.
Yeah,
it's an amazing thing to see.
Oh, that's neat. That's neat. Yeah, yeah. That's a fabulous event, and you know, we have such a good time at Georgia too.
Georgia's awesome. Mac Hodge is just such a wonderful host.
Yeah,
his field is like flying off of a golf course putting green.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing is, you know, us Northerners just aren't used to that kind of heat and humidity.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You can always tell a first-time Northerner when they show up to Warbirds over Georgia. They'll be wearing black shorts and a black T-shirt. That doesn't last the second day. I'm guaranteeing.
I swear, the first year I was there, my eyelids were sweating. It was so bad.
Yeah, it gets a little humid and hot down there. Well, that's great, man. You know, I'm glad you came on the show because I think it's important for everybody to, you know, kind of get a feel for some of these the builders on the site. And it looks like we got a caller. I believe it's our buddy Dan Gellner.
This Dan, can't be good.
Dan, are you there, buddy?
This can't be good. You want to know the truth, Dave. David, is that Mike wanted me to call tonight and ask you about the placement of your tools being at 90 degrees on the workbench and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, you know, he was dogging me in the thread, and he said, you know, and he puts right in the thread. Well, if you look, you can see this, you know, this knife is 90 degrees. And I walked out the shop because I didn't realize I had snapped that picture, and that knife was not at 90 degrees, but I looked directly to the left and had all the pencils and all the knives lined up at the end of the bench at 90 degrees. I mean, it was just too funny not to take a picture of and post it. It was just too hysterical. I have to make fun of myself because everybody else does. So,
you kind of like won the battle but lost the war in that one, is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, well, you know, we are who we are.
And we love you for it, buddy. That's for sure.
I make fun of it. There's nothing I can do about it. I make fun of it too. So,
well, I guess it's better than being the opposite of that, huh?
Oh, exactly. Like you talk about like Mitch's shop.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you want to dog somebody, Dan? Take a look at Mitch Baker's webcam.
Yeah, I have. It's actually, it hasn't changed much in.
I know.
February.
I
mean,
it's like a pile of. Pile of stuff with a framed up wing on top of it. I'm not quite sure what all that is under there, but apparently it's holding the shape of the wing, whatever it is. So there may be some reason to his madness. You never know, you know?
Hey, I actually have a question though.
Yeah.
I was kind of wondering, you know, you talk about all these events you've been to and then you've been to Top Gun as a spectator. Are you at some point planning on doing some scale competition with your work?
You know, at one point I thought I wanted to, until the second or third time I was a spectator down at Top Gun and saw the intensity that these guys display. And it, for me, it took the fun out of it. It just, I'm much more comfortable with the fly-in kind of event where everybody just sits around. And if you don't feel like flying, you sit under the canopy and shoot the breeze with the guys. The competition area of it, I'm just not convinced that's where I need to be. First off, I don't think my building skills are to the point where they need to be yet. Second off, I know my flying skills are not to the point where they need to be yet. And honestly, I don't know that that's what I want to do. I thought I did, but I'm not convinced of it. It's just too intense for me.
Well, okay, in fairness too to that, you know, that's you're looking at probably the most intense event out there. Not all that way. So, but yeah, I mean, I understand where you come from. Definitely.
See, I was thinking about holding my own, and you know, there's nobody that builds scale around here, so I'm thinking I could win the first year.
Look, that way you could qualify and go to the Masters. You know.
Yeah.
If it's if it's a field of one, that would be a little easier, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm going to kick butt. I mean, that's my plan.
All right, Dan. I appreciate you calling in, buddy.
Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Good night.
Good night. So, you know, that's kind of interesting that you were talking about the competition. Yeah, that's probably the most intense competition there is.
I mean, there's some incredible talent down there. Make no mistake about it.
Oh, absolutely.
But talk about being focused.
Yep.
I just found it uncomfortable.
Yep. Hey, folks, if you're trying to call in, give us a call again. I know somebody from the 615 area code just tried to call in. And give us a call back, and we've got an open line now. And I think we've got a caller holding. Good evening, caller. Who's speaking?
Hey, Mike and David. How y'all doing tonight?
Good evening.
Good. Who's this?
Hey, it's Alan.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, Alan. You sound different from over the radio here.
Oh, I see. Hey, David, how you doing? Long time no see.
Real good, Alan. How about yourself?
I'm treading water, I reckon. Hey, I just got back to watching your thread. How long until you think it's going to be ready for weight and balance and all that?
I'm working on the gear doors right now. I'm hoping to have the doors done here in the next 2 weeks, and then it's down to installing the engine and the radio. I would assume because of everything that's going on, I won't be balancing February, maybe March. I'm going to have to take a break here for a couple of months, but it'll be certainly ready to fly in the spring.
Oh, very cool. So it'll definitely be at WOG.
Oh, yeah. It'll be in Georgia this year. Absolutely. Well, in fact, it might maiden at Georgia. We'll see.
Well, with any luck, I'll be in Georgia this year.
Good for you.
Well, we hope so, buddy. Yeah, absolutely.
Well,
thanks for the call, Alan. Appreciate you calling in, buddy. It's always good to hear from you.
All right. Well, y'all be good.
Take care.
You too, pal. That's kind of interesting about the competition like we were talking about. You know, you ought to try and make it over to the Mint Julep in Kentucky. That's probably, in my opinion, one of the more laid-back ones. And Mint I bet you'd really enjoy that. It's in early spring, you know.
Well, the thing here, in our spring up here, we are so wet and windy in the spring. We don't really, or at least I'm a fair-weather flyer anyway because I'm somewhat of a wimp. But so we're not really able to get out much before mid-May on decent days.
Right.
And, you know, Warbirds over Georgia is in early June.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so our flying season here is not as long, certainly, as yours.
Right.
But I've not been down to Mint Julep. I've not been there.
Yeah, that's nice.
I know Dayton has a big event every other year, I believe. It's a World War I event.
And the Dawn Patrol,
that's only a 9 or 10 hour drive for me from here, so that's not bad at all.
Absolutely. We got another caller, buddy. Good evening, caller. You're on the air. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, this is Bob.
Bob. Oh,
what's happening, Bob? David's favorite critic.
My nemesis.
I just called because I wanted his autograph, and I thought, you know, maybe him being a celebrity and all that, he would be so kind as to give me it.
You know, I would do that for you, Bob, but I have to be perfectly honest with you. This celebrity stuff is not everything it's cracked up to be. The amenities in the green room while I was waiting to go on were severely lacking.
That's because Mike's cheap.
I just haven't been treated right.
I gave him a bowl of M&M's. I mean, what's the expect?
Well, that's not bad. Are they peanut M&M's or the other ones?
Yeah, they're absolutely the peanut ones. But, there's another story here, Mike, that you're unaware of. When I was building the Arado, I put little hatches on it, and I decided I wanted to make it a little easier to access my hatches. And so I put little doodads on them that would assist me in opening it. And, well, Bob and Carl came over one day and just dogged me for about 3 hours about my door handles on my hatches, to the point where I ended up taking them off.
They weren't doodads. They were doorknobs. He used honest to God, he used these Dubro, ball link end things, and had this thing screwed. And I said, what is that? And he goes, well, you know, I want to be able to get in there. I said, no, you cannot have those on that airplane. You have to take them off. And he whined and he pouted. But, you know, there are easy ways to do things, scale builders, without deviating too far from scale. And having a doorknob sticking on the outside of your airplane is not the way to do it. It's wrong on so many levels.
Hey, David, what are friends for, right?
Well, you know, he hasn't been back to my shop since. I wonder if there's any correlation to that.
Yeah, I did sleep with you, though, in Georgia.
Yeah, but you said we weren't going to talk about that.
Well, what can I say?
Well, all right, Bob, we appreciate you calling in, buddy.
Hey, I called in for the free glue. What's the free glue question?
You'll have to wait on that one. Stick around. We'll be doing the free glue question.
All right, I'm going to listen to you on the radio.
All right, pal. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Oh, Bob. Everybody wants the free glue.
Yeah, he's a character, isn't he?
He's a hoot. I'm telling you what.
Yep.
And if you have a question about how to make a scale detail, he is an excellent, excellent resource to tap into. He has an SE5 that he has just done some amazing detailing work to. And I've been looking at his SIST 190 that he's done a beautiful job on. So it's kind of nice to have him right here. And he, now that he's retired, he has too much time on his hands.
Yeah.
So, feel free to call him up. I would recommend starting those phone calls at about 11, maybe 11:30 at night.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll appreciate that.
I know.
Well, hey, I'll tell you what, let me ask you this. What advice, we got a lot of new people on the site this year. What advice would you give to new guys about that are wanting to get into scale building, and just some good basic advice? You know, you don't have to get into all the details, but just a couple of things off the top of your head that kind of stand out to you.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is, when you pick a project, before you buy everything to build that project, you want to make sure that you have your documentation up front. I decided to build this Arado and then went looking for pictures of it. There is one book that I found that covered the Arado, and I ordered it out of Germany, and it's the only one I have found thus far that covers the Arado 96. So there's very limited amount of information available, so I would recommend doing that up front when you pick your project. Something else I would recommend is, don't be afraid to make mistakes.
Yep.
I'm a prime example of that. If there's something that can be screwed up, I have probably either done it or will be doing it soon. And, I have learned more from making the mistakes and the errors and how you fix that than I have from doing it right the first time. Maybe that's why I do things two and three and four times. And don't be afraid to tackle the project. Just because you think it's huge and daunting, it's really not. I moved into scale at the same time I went up to the 1/6 and 1/5 size from the 40 and 60 size. And it initially seemed to me like, wow, these things are really big. It's going to be a lot harder. Actually, it's a lot easier because you have much more surface to work with. And the detailing you can do is a little bit easier because you have more surface to work with. And one of, we're back to talking to the Arado. I had another friend over to the shop on Sunday, and he was looking at the fuselage, and the first time he'd seen it, and he thought it was a fiberglass fuselage. And I took that as just one of the ultimate compliments, because it's a completely wood build-up fuselage that I fiberglassed and painted. But to the untrained observer, it looked like a fiberglass fuselage because it looked that nice. Mm-hmm. So I was really pleased to hear that. So, and I've gone from, to zero to that point in about 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
So if I can do it, anybody can do it.
Well, there you go. And you really touched on the key there, and that was, don't be afraid to make mistakes, because that's how you learn,
Oh, absolutely. And if you screw up when you're building, hey, look, cut that piece out and redo it. You screw up when you're painting, sand it off and do it again.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's only paint. It's only balsa wood.
Yep. That's right. That's right. Well, David, I want to thank you for coming on the show tonight, buddy. I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. And
I appreciate you having me in, and thank you for limiting the amount of dogging that I received.
Well, I thought about really cutting it loose on you, but I said, I don't think so. Not tonight. But look, we're gonna take a break, folks. And when we come back, we're going to have Mr. Ron Berg on here with a DVD and book review. And then we'll do some trivia and talk a little bit about what's going on in scale. But once again, thanks, David, and hope you'll come back another time.
My pleasure, Mike. Thank you for having me on.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, pal.
Take care.
All right, folks, that's going to wrap it up for this segment. And we're going to take a break. And when we get back, we'll get right online with our buddy Ron Berg. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
This is Don Kennedy, host of Big Band Jump, a part of Warbird Radio. Tune in, take off with the excitement of Warbird Radio.
Hi, this is Mike Chilson, host of the RC Scale Builder Show. If you're interested in radio-controlled scale models, join us every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern for our live show. We'll be covering the latest news in RC Scale and have some great interviews every week. That's every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. with rebroadcast throughout the week, the RC Scale Builder Show, here on Warbird Radio.
Now showing on AeroCinema.com.
Deep in the mountainous regions of southern Germany, there lies a secret. Behind armed guards and solid walls, aviation genius Willy Messerschmitt has a team toiling away at something deadly, something the world has never seen before. The Messerschmitt name is already synonymous with the most feared aircraft of the war. Whether propeller or jet-powered, they are a driving force for the Luftwaffe. Now, with enemy forces closing in, the mystery must be hidden before it is too late. Plans divvied up, designs buried deep. No one can know what is behind the doors of the secret factory. Part 1.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
We're so close to the Pentagon, sometimes they ask us to get the coffee. This is Warbird Radio.
And welcome back to the RC Scale Builder Show. I'm your host, Mike Chilson, and we are glad you're with us tonight. We just wrapped up our interview with one of the builders on our site, David Heil, and we'll be doing more builder interviews. We try and do a few of those. We do a few call-in shows, and we do some vendor shows. So we try and mix it up a little bit for you and keep things fresh. I want to welcome our good friend, Ron Berg. How are you doing tonight, Ron?
Man, it's good to be here. It's been a long time.
Seems like it does.
Like about 2 months, probably.
Well, I guess it has almost. You got a DVD. Is it a DVD or a book review you got for us?
This is a DVD.
Okay.
A little short, down, dirty one, but it's really a good one, particularly for those that maybe are kind of new to building and have questions on how to do things. But the video I want to talk about tonight is, it's called Perfect Airframe Alignment. And it's by a guy named Bob Knoll. He builds a lot of pattern planes. He's retired from something and then started a business and builds pattern planes. And, of course, you know, pattern planes have got to be straight and got to fly true. But it kind of brings a point home. You know, there's a lot of emphasis on laser cut parts and the accuracy of laser cut parts. But the benefits of all that accuracy are pretty much lost if the airframe is built crooked. You got a crooked airframe, every time you change power settings, your trim is going to change. So it's very important that your stab is square to the center line of the thrust line of the plane, and that the wing is square to the thrust line, and the stab and the wing are square to each other. And he starts off his video by showing you how to check for a flat building surface. I mean, it's really a cool way of doing it. And basically, you just stretch the strings from corner to corner, and then that'll tell you if one of your edges is one of your corners is lower than another, it's got to be shimmed up or whatever. It'd be kind of hard to explain without a visual reference, but when you see it, it'll just amaze you how simple it is to check the flatness of your building surface. And he shows how he builds his planes, how he starts off by squaring the stab to the fuselage, and then he squares the wing to the stab. And he's got a little adjustable bar that kind of just a quick down and dirty. He'll put a screw in the middle of the fuselage up by the firewall and make sure that it's in the center. And then this bar is adjustable, and it has a slot on each end, and then he'll put a T-pin at the outside corner of the stab or the wing, whichever one he's working on. And then he just adjusts that bar and just moves it back and forth. And when that bar can slip over that T-pin without any adjustment, the stab is square. And then he glues it down. It's really simple. And he sells this adjustment bar. It's like $14.95 or something like that. I mean, when you see it, you can tell that, you know, that it'd be real easy to build one yourself, but I really don't think you'd save any money by doing it. I mean, it's pretty nice, and it costs almost nothing. But this video is put out by AirborneMedia.com, and it only costs $19.95, and it's really a good value for the money. Anybody that's new to building, they can really benefit from this one.
I got you. Well, that's neat. So I want to get the if you would shoot me an email with that, Earl. I didn't get to catch up with you today and get the information, but we'll post that.
I'll send it to you here in the next few minutes.
Yeah, we'll post that definitely in the episode thread on RC Scale Builder. That sounds really interesting. I may have to check that one out myself. I'd like to see how he's doing that.
Probably one of all the videos that I've looked at for the price. You know, for what you're getting for the price, it's probably one of the better values.
Well, cool. Well, that sounds great. Well, for those that don't know, you're going to be down and out for just a little while here shortly. So hopefully we can get you on the show a little more since you'll be immobile.
I'll be hard to run and hide here for a while.
That's right. We'll have to run you down.
I'll go in Monday for my surgery, and then I'll be sticking close to the house for a while.
Yep. And you're getting a total knee replacement, correct?
Right. Yeah, total knee replacement. I went to the hospital tonight, and they told me what to expect, and they said it's going to hurt like a mother.
Hey, you know, it's
but at least that will get better. The knee situation I got now is getting worse every day. So I get my life back. I can hardly wait. I'd go right now if they called me up and said they had opened it.
I hear you.
Just one last comment. I really enjoy these builder shows that you're doing. I find it really interesting.
Too.
The fact that they're friends are just even better. But and one quick thing, if I got a minute, you know, we hear people traveling and stuff like that. I just wanted to, you know, we've had Danny Bush call in a few times. Danny's a pilot for Lufthansa, and whenever he's in Houston, he'll call me, and I'll go pick him up at the airport, and we'll go out and get something to drink, you know, get something to eat or whatever. And he's a great guy, and it's a friendship, a good friendship, that I wouldn't have if it wasn't for the site and the fact that, you know, when he's in town, we get together. So, I mean, we've got, our members are traveling all over the country all the time, and it's a great opportunity to meet people and get to know some different aspects of how people do the hobby, and, you know, just by doing that. So, you know, people ought to look into that.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's neat to meet up with some of these guys and put faces and to names, and you know, like you, I've made a lot of good friends on the site. So it's just, you know, that's what I love about our site, is we got a great community, you know. And you know, we all like to have fun, and I really haven't met any bad people through this. I met one person who's bad through this hobby, but that was one out of, you know, several thousand. So that's right, pretty good odds. Well, look, thanks for calling in and giving us that review, and I'll post that info when you shoot it over to me, pal.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, we'll talk to you soon, Ron. Thanks for calling in.
All right, bud. Take care.
All right, bye-bye. All right, folks, that was Ron Berg with his DVD review of Perfect Airframe Alignment. I'll get that info posted in the episode guide on RC Scale Builder, so be sure and check that out after the show. I'll try and get those up, you know, 10 or 15 minutes after the show. So I'll be sure and check that out and get it up for you. Again, I want to bring up another, you know, subject while we're sitting here. And I want to bring Matt in. Matt, are you there with us, buddy?
I am now, Mike.
Okay. I've been thinking more and more about this theme song next year's show, yeah. You know. And If you're listening this week and you did not get to listen last week, we were asking people to email in and tell us what they think the theme for the show should be next year. I want to just freshen it up a little bit, get a new theme, you know, preferably not the Wonder Woman theme Matt played last
maybe
year.
Maybe the Bee Gees. What do you think? Kind of your style, you know?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Not quite my style, right. But but thanks.
Well, I thought I'd try, Mike.
We'd love to hear from you. So shoot us an email either at live@rcscalebuilder.com or you can go to the Contact Us page on Warbird Radio or on rcscalebuilder.com and let us know what you think a good theme song would be. And whoever song we pick – at the first of the year, we're going to send them an RCSB T-shirt.
Wow.
So so be sure and think about that. And if you got any ideas, we'd love to hear from you. I think it's time for the Meister Trivia question.
Oh, boy. All right. Let's hear it. What is it? I'm ready.
Are you? This one's kind of interesting.
All right. You know? It's been kind of a week for you. I know.
Yeah. You know, it's not hard, but it's an interesting question. And I was trying to frame this up somehow, but it was just falling apart on me. So I'm just going to go ahead and read the question. First of all, I want to thank Meister Scale for providing our prize tonight for the trivia. Whoever wins the trivia question tonight will win a bottle of thin and medium Zap CA glue. And we'll also throw in a Aero Cinema preview pack DVD. I think I got a couple of those left.
Okay.
And we'll get that out to you. So be sure and call in. So if you think you know the answer to the question once we read it, give us a call at 478-787-4768 or Skype us at Warbird Radio.
Operators are standing by tonight. So
that's right. Operators are waiting on your calls. So here's our question. What claim to fame does the Mitsubishi Ki-15 hold in history?
I don't know, Mike. That's a good
one. Once again, what claim to fame does the Mitsubishi Ki-15 hold in aviation history? If you think you know the answer, give us a call at 478-787-4768 or Skype us at Warbird Radio. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to give you some glue.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's an interesting airplane, the Mitsubishi Ki-15. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It was kind of a between the wars airplane. But
I'm not familiar with that one. I'm going to have to look that one up. And, of course, you sent it to
me.
And I have no idea. I didn't even read the trivia answer tonight because I don't like to do that. It kind of takes the fun out of it.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. I understand.
I like to use Google like everyone else. So,
hey, we did get a David Heil text me and said that we should use Another One Bites the Dust by Queen as the
that'd be a good one. Yeah
that would be a good one. Good suggestion. So we'll have to add that one to the list.
Add that one to the, put that in there then. Okay.
Absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely. So let me read the question one more time, and then we're going to move on. What claim to fame does the Mitsubishi Ki-15 hold in aviation history? If you know the answer, give us a call at 478-787-4768 or Skype us at Warbird Radio. We'd love to hear from you.
I didn't hear the email going off.
Yep.
And you've had a number of calls tonight. You had another one from Gabe tonight who could not, I guess, call back in, but we just couldn't get to it. Ron was on the line and didn't want to interrupt Ron. So but Gabe is calling in right now. You want to take? See who this is.
Yeah, let's take it. Let's take it.
Good evening, Gabe. You're on the air.
All right. Yeah, I'm on my computer actually.
Well, good.
Good.
All right. So this is cool.
You think you know the answer to the?
One, I think that the Ki was a 45.
15.
Yeah, 15 was the number of kamikaze attacks that it carried out.
Unfortunately, no. You may want to turn the station down in the background.
All right, yeah, hang on.
No, that's always kind of fun, isn't it, Mike?
Yeah.
How about now?
No, that's good. Perfect. There you go. There you go.
That delay will mess you up every time, buddy.
Yeah. Calm down, Emily. But, the Ki-45 was used in a number of kamikaze attacks, if I recall correctly.
Well, it was actually the Ki-15.
Oh, 15, sorry.
yeah. No, that's not the answer, actually.
But thanks for calling in tonight, Gabe. We appreciate it. We're going to move over here to this next call and call back in sometime, Gabe. Let's see if we can grab this other call here, Mike. Good to talk to Gabe, though, tonight. That was fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Take another call. Here you go, Michael.
Okay. Good evening, caller. You're on there.
Hey, it's Bob again.
Bob again. What's going on, Bob again?
Hey, how about the first Japanese plane to fly to Europe?
You are correct, sir.
Thank you.
You are correct. The answer is the first Japanese plane to Japanese-built airplane to fly to Europe. And it flew between Tokyo and London in April of 1937. And I think it set a record time of 51 hours and some odd minutes. So.
Something. It was 51 hours, 17 minutes, and 23 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah. So interesting airplane there. Cool. Well, Bob, shoot me an email, buddy. I need your mailing address so I can bubble wrap you up some glue and send it to you.
You already should have it.
Man, I don't keep up with that stuff. You know how many of those I get?
I'm hurt. I'm deeply hurt.
I have your phone number. I don't have your mailing address, though.
You know, I do need a new shirt because I'll tell you why. That other shirt that Gary sent me, it shrunk. I have to give it to a 12-year-old. My wife can't even wear it. I said, look, you got to wear this shirt, baby, because I can't fit in it. You know, and that's, I lost weight, man. I'm svelte now. So anyway, I'll shoot you an email, Studley.
All right, buddy. I appreciate it. Thanks for calling in and knowing the answer. I appreciate it.
He said he wanted the glue, and he got the glue. That's
right. That's right. See, that's all it takes, folks. Awesome. You just got to pick up the phone and call.
Oh, that's great. That's good.
Yeah, that's an interesting airplane. And just so you know, if you want to take a look at that airplane, one of RCSB's favorite designers, David Anderson, actually just designed one of these.
Wow.
And you can get the plans and the parts from him to build one. So it's kind of an interesting airplane. And so thanks again to Meister for the glue and to Dino, and we'll get that off to Bob as soon as we get his mailing address. You know, talking about new airplanes, Matt, I want to take just a minute. I know we're getting short on time, but I want to tell folks a little bit about some of the new designs that are out this one. Vance Mosier's finishing up a Yak 18.
Well, that's going to be nice.
Yeah, he's actually doing a build thread on the site, and I think it's fifth scale maybe. And really, I got to see the framework of it, and it looks really nice. I mean, it's, you know, Vance thinks out of the box and really makes it where you build everything straight without having a lot of work involved. Yeah. So be sure and check that out. Also, our buddy Jerry Bates, he just released the Blanca Cruise Master, and he's working on the Spartan Executive right now. And Glenn, I know you're listening, so I'm going to tell you something that I found out. I was talking to him the other day, and he's been actually working on it. So, so expect that Spartan Executive soon. And of course, we talked about David Anderson and the Mitsubishi Ki 15. So be sure and check that out. But anyway, yeah, that's some of the new models out this year. And so there's a few new things coming out, but I'm sure there's more. But those are the ones just off the top of my head I wanted to tell the guys about. So you know, while we got a minute before we cover events, you know, you and I were talking earlier, and you were telling me about a little bit of fun you were having this evening.
Man. I was having a good time tonight, Mike. Really was. It was one of those nights, you know, you just perfect weather. And the airplane was there, and she was begging to be flown, and it was just a lot of fun. Had a good time tonight. It's that time of year though, where folks are experiencing similar, similar joys. I guess everybody's been talking about. I've gotten a lot of emails. In fact, 10 tonight, from guys just writing in and saying, "Man, I went out and flew the Stearman. I went out and did this, and it was just good stuff tonight." So it was a good night all across the country, I think, for aviation. And, man, I certainly did my part. I had a great time. That runway was just begging to be flown down tonight. And I must admit, I did what I needed to do, Mike. It was a good time tonight.
That's awesome.
Just a lot of fun. Had a great time. I mean, it just a ton of fun. So, also learned how to also change the oil in the airplane for the first time. That was kind of fun. So
Yeah. Well, you know, did you wear your little quick oil change overalls?
I wore my David Heil white coat with rubber gloves. Yeah, I played some Dieter music in the background. It was just like working at the VW plant, you know? Good stuff.
You know, do you remember that series of commercials? What's that guy's name? He played in a lot of horror movies, but he did a series of VW commercials where they talk about, was it like tricking out the cars? You remember that one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man, that cracks me up. Good but anyway,
stuff. No, I was surprisingly clean until the end.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
that's
until
good.
The end.
That's awesome. Well, good deal.
It was a lot of fun. Though. Well, what about these events?
Well, hey,
what do you have for events? You got some good events?
Well, we got a couple coming up. Of course, be sure and check at myrcevents.com for more events in your area. But a couple coming up this month and next month. This weekend is Warbirds over Fort Valley. 12th, 13th in Fort Valley, Georgia. That's good. Matt's old stomping ground.
Oh, yeah. Good field.
Yeah,
great
I look
place
forward
to fly.
To that. Yeah, I'm going to be over there, so you guys look me up when I get over there Friday afternoon. But and also Southern Dawn Patrol, December 3rd and 4th in Andersonville, Georgia. Hope to make that one. Don't know yet, but I'm hoping I'm going to. But getting a lot of heat from the guys to come down there. So
you need to bring the heat, I think, when you come down there, too. That'd be good.
Yeah, well, you know.
A little chilly down there.
They could probably use it, you know.
Probably.
So, but yeah, so that's what's going on. You know, the flying season's wrapping up, and we're about to get into building season. And, of course, in the midsummer, it's building season here in the South. But we kind of have two building seasons and two flying seasons.
Right.
So. But yeah, it's wrapping up. A lot of people working on projects. Did I tell you I got some covering on the Blanca fuselage?
No, you didn't tell me about that, Michael.
Yeah, I did. I got some covering on. I actually got the windshield cut out and making some progress. So, you know, it may fly in 2042. So.
That's what I'm thinking. Probably 2042, yeah. There you go.
Yeah. So, but we're getting there with it.
That'll be about a decade before Mitch finishes the Mustang. But
that's right. That's right. But, you know, it's like somebody told me once, it's a hobby, not a race.
It's not a race.
You know?
Yeah, you're right.
That's right. So what's coming up on Warbird Radio this rest of the week?
Well, we got a busy week, Mike. Tomorrow it's Blaine Pardoe who will be joining us to talk about a man very instrumental in not only aviation but also in the MIA program. That's tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm. We're doing our call-in show on Thursday, and then Stuart, Florida, gets our live remote all weekend as we take the B-25 Panchito down to the last show of the season down there in Stuart, Florida this weekend. So good stuff. I'm leaving out at 1 a.m. on a Friday morning to head up to the Hurlock Air Force Base there in Maryland where we will join up. It's going to be a long day, but flying down to Kissimmee, Florida, and then from Kissimmee we take the B-25 down to Stuart. And then on Sunday it's Stuart back to Delaware. So good stuff. And we'll have, of course, carrying the show and live reports all weekend long from down there. So
wow. Wow.
Good stuff, Michael.
That's pretty incredible. You know, I'm very envious
come
that
on,
you get to.
Let's go. Come on and go.
I know.
You know,
I wish I could. I tell you what, I do want to go flying with you in that L2, though.
Man, it was fun tonight. Gosh, it was fun. Just that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, just the windows open. Just really nice weather tonight. The sunset was just gorgeous tonight, too. The fall leaves up here are just in full, you know, they're really bright and really pretty mm-hmm. night tonight. A lot of fun.
That's awesome.
So,
awesome.
Is it time, Mike? Is it time to wrap it? I don't know. Is it time?
I believe so. I think you're right.
All right. Well, in honor of David Heil, then, we'll start the music off.
There we go.
Yeah. There you go.
Well, that's going to wrap up another episode, folks. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back next week with another great guest and more information about what's going on in Scale RC. In the meantime, be sure and join us over on rcscalebuilder.com for some of the best information in scale building on the World Wide Web. And thanks to my guests, and most of all, thanks to all of you for listening. Be sure to stay tuned for more great programming here on Warbird Radio. And until next time, don't forget to measure twice and cut once. We'll see you.
You sure you like this, Mike?
I did.
Good deal.
I think I am liking it.
There you go. All right.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.